good morning. Welcome. The first 11 a.m. service. Y'all did it. You made it. We had an awesome first service already. If it's you're joining us for the first time, and this is our first week back to two services since COVID, and it's really exciting to see God working and moving and, you know, bringing people into our church family and ultimately bringing people into the family of faith and into relationship with God. And so we're excited. We're excited about what God's doing. We're excited about what God's doing in our church, in our people, in your life. And so we're just so thankful that we get to do this. One of the coolest things the coolest thing about this is that we get to have two services now where we get to preach the gospel at more time so more people can come and hear it and experience it and respond to it. But the other really awesome thing is this is a huge blessing to our kids' ministry in two ways. Number one, there's not 80 kids back there during one service anymore. And the second really cool thing is that the kids' ministry workers that for the last 2 years have been serving almost every single Sunday, missing out on service, now they get the opportunity to not only serve, but also to sit through service as well and be fed. And so that is an amazing part of what we're doing. So thank you all so much for helping us and serving and making this happen and for, helping us grow this family of faith. Today we are kicking off a new series called Gospel, like Chris talked about, and this series is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to help kind of combat something that I've seen, and God probably about 6 months ago, kind of laid it on my heart that this was an issue and was a problem, not just with our church, but in church in general, and really with Christians, American Christians, Western Christianity, and our faith and how we share our faith. And so we're going to dive into this thing, but before we do that, I want to give you the why. I want to show you the reason why I believe it's so important that we step into this. But I want to start with Matthew 28:19. This is the Great Commission. These are Jesus' words to his followers. And it says this, and it's actually 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. So this is the call of all those who call themselves Jesus followers, of all those who've been baptized into the Spirit, and the Spirit is within them. Jesus says, what you are to do now is to go into all the world and make disciples, teach people about me and teach people about my word and teach people to obey my word and to believe in me. And that is our call, and that is what we're called to do, and it's for us individually. Yes, the church as a whole does this, but this is an individual call for each person that calls themselves a Christ follower. And I think over the last 20 years, maybe more, maybe less, we have gotten away from going and making disciples. And I want to share a few stats that I came across. I was aware of this, but I wasn't aware of it to the extent that these stats. Go ahead and put this up. And so this is how Christianity has changed just in the last 20 years, from 2000 to 2020. There's three different groups here. The red line is practicing Christians, the blue one, non-practicing Christians, and then the yellow one is non-Christians. The practicing Christians is really what we're focusing on today. They identify as a Christian, agree strongly that faith is very important in their lives, and have attended church within the past month. As far as non-practicing Christians, these would be people that say, yes, I am a Christian, but they don't go to church, they identify as a Christian, and of course there's non-Christian who don't identify at all. And so you can see the practicing Christians, this in the last 20 years, have gone from 45% all the way down to 25%. And really, between 2010 and 2012, something, I don't know what happened. Anyone remember what was going on there? Because something serious went down within the church. And so we see a huge dip there. And so 45%, 25%, claiming to be practicing Christians. And then you see an upward trend of non-practicing Christians from 35 to 43, and then non-Christians altogether from 20 to 32%. And so you see this decline, and when I first saw it, I knew there was a decline, but I didn't realize it was that much. The other thing that this affects, of course, if you're a practicing Christian, you're going to church, is weekly attendance. Go to the next stat. And so on this one, we see the same thing. This is from 1993 all the way to 2020. and weekly church attendance is 45%, and then we get all the way down to 29%. That 33% in 2018, that was Kairos Church. That's when we launched, so that's we did that. I'm just kidding. it's kind of distressing, and we see this decline, and we say, well, I wonder why this is, what's going on. You know, there are many reasons, and we can get into all those, but I want to share the main reason why I think this is. And again, coming from findings, from research, from some of these stats, here's what the first one said. It says, new findings from Lifeway Research, self-described as distressing results, indicate that 61% of evangelical Christians fail to share their faith on a regular basis, even though they believe it's their responsibility to do so. In another quote, it said 61% believe it's their responsibility, but only 20% actually do. Moreover, nearly half of those respondents said they have not invited a non-Christian friend to church in the past 6 months. Okay, so we have the practicing Christian saying, yes, it's my job, it's my responsibility to go and share the gospel, and while they believe that it's their responsibility, they're not actually doing it. And then on the flip side, another stat said that only 3 in 10 unchurched Americans, 29%, say a Christian has ever shared with them one-on-one how a person becomes a Christian, and only slightly more say a Christian has told them about the benefits of participating in a local church or the benefits of becoming a Christian. And so we see these stats where practicing Christians aren't sharing, and those out there who have never heard about Jesus, not just being invited to church, but never heard the gospel presented to them, is very, very high. So let me put this on to you now and ask you this question. And honestly, I think as a church, not just our church, but Big C Church as Christians in America, this is a place where we need to get real, we need to get honest, and we need to challenge ourselves and encourage ourselves to step into this. So, in the last 6 months, by show of hands, but let me finish. In the last 6 months, how many of you would be willing to say that you have shared the gospel with someone? When I say shared the gospel, I mean you actually walked them through the plan of salvation. You talked to them about Jesus. You talked to them about God. You talked to them about sin. Not inviting them to church. We'll get to that in a minute. But actually walked them through the gospel. Last 6 months, has anyone done that? So we got about 5 hands. How many would say I've done that in the last year? A few more. Okay, and now, since becoming a Christian, you've done this. You've actually talked to someone about the plan of salvation. A little bit more, but not everybody. So here's another question to follow up with that. And you begin to see the problem. Just in this service and last service, we're seeing those percentages, and that's globally, or not globally, really in our nation, I would say, this is what's taking place. So this is the follow-up question. How many of you would say that you had the gospel shared with you, the plan of salvation shared with you before stepping foot in a church? Anybody? One person. So this is where the problem lies. Because while churches can do a lot, the church is meant to be mobilized to do more. So we can bring people in, you can invite them in to hear the gospel, but just imagine how many more people would hear the gospel if you actually went out and presented it. Does that make sense? And because each of you individually have opportunities, you come into contact with people that God has orchestrated, and you are given opportunities to actually present the gospel to them. And I think this is where we're failing. So I've been in ministry. My wife said I've only been in church for 16 years, which I've been a Christian. We figured it out for 30 years now. I was saved in 1993. Woo! Okay. That's my new age. I'm going to say that's how old I am. I'm 30. Beard says otherwise. Okay. Been in ministry now for 16 plus years. My time in ministry, my time in church, what I've seen over the last 20 years is that our churches, not all of them, but I'm going to say generally churches in America, have been focused on getting people to church, just getting people in the door. But in many cases, they're less focused on actually introducing them to their faith and developing their faith and walking them and explaining to them the plan of salvation and giving them the gospel. So here's what churches have gotten really, really, really good at. We've gotten good at equipping our congregations with cards, with QR codes, with yard signs, with Facebook posts, all in an effort to bring people into the church, but we've not done a good job of actually equipping you, equipping Christians to go and share their faith and to really share the gospel with people. And so this is so important because this is what we're called to. We're called to go and make disciples. Now, let me be very, very clear. What I'm not telling you is stop inviting people to church. No, no, no. There's power in inviting people to hear the gospel. Absolutely. But God also empowers you, you specifically, to share the gospel. Where do we get this? Acts 1:8. Let's read it. Acts 1:8. It says this. Ready? But you will receive power. It doesn't say, but the church will receive power. Only those who are called to preach God's word from stage in a large group setting receive power. No, no, no. You specifically will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what will you do? You will be my witnesses. You will tell people about me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. We'll do, you know, tell people about it in Winter Haven and Auburndale and Haines City and Lakeland, Polk County, and all throughout Florida. This is talking about you. If you have heard the gospel presented to you, responded to the gospel and who Jesus is and what he did, and you confessed your sin and professed him as your Lord and Savior, you have been given the power to go and share the gospel that you have found. But what we see in statistics, what we see just here in raising of hands, is we're not doing this. And it's I want to, as a pastor, as someone who's been in ministry, take the blame, because many churches are not equipping people to go and share the gospel. And that's what we're doing here today, and that's what we want to do. And the reality is, when we look back at Matthew 28:19, what it says is that we're called to go and make disciples, right? Go and help them learn about God and help them believe in God and believe in Jesus and help them obey the word. Jesus didn't say go and invite people to church. Jesus said go and what? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And really what that is, you know, in Acts 1:8, it says to be my witnesses. And really what it is to witness is what? Is to share about Jesus. Share who he is, share what he did, share how he died on the cross. But even more specific is to share about what Jesus did for you. We call this our testimony. We're called to share our testimony about who Jesus is and what he did for us. You can go and you can read. Most of the New Testament is written by a guy named Paul. And in all these letters and all his missionary journeys and Acts and all these things, what you can continually see Paul doing is sharing his testimony. Who he was before Jesus. And Paul, Saul, before Jesus, man, he was someone who was persecuting Christians and chasing them down. And he was breathing just all this hate and, things against Christianity. But then he was radically saved and rescued by God. And he says, I am the least deserving of this. But God, man, in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, he rescued me and brought me out. And I can't help myself. I have to tell people about what God did for me and let them know that what he did for me, he can also do for them. Sharing your faith, sharing your testimony, this witnessing is a part of you getting that Holy Spirit and going out in the Spirit's power and sharing the gospel. And so it's really important. And so, again, don't stop inviting people. Continually do that. That's a part of it. But at the same time, don't forget that it is your call as a Jesus follower to also share the gospel. And as you share, as you give your witness, as you tell about what he did in your life, as you tell about what God did for them, as you create relationship with them, guess what they'll do? They will come and join the family of faith and maybe come and join this family of faith specifically. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're moving into. And I want to give you the how. I want to equip you with how you can do this and give it to you in a way that is simple, that is easy, that is presentable, that is understandable, and that people can respond to. Before we dive into the rest, I want to pray with you guys. God, right now, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this church, this body of believers. God, you are doing a mighty work. Your spirit is moving. Your spirit is challenging. Your spirit is changing and transforming. God, I pray that as you move and as you work and as you challenge and as you convict us, God, that we would respond, that we would obey, and that we would be a people that go in all that we do and everywhere that we go and that we make disciples. God, right now, allow our hearts and our minds to be focused on you and what you're saying to us in this moment. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the how. That's what we're unpacking, teaching and equipping you to be confident, to share the hope that you have found. This comes from 1 Peter 3, and it simply says that always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always be ready. Now, first and foremost, in order for them to ask about the hope that you have to be showing that hope in your actions, your reactions, and your everyday, right? And so they need to see Jesus in you, and then when they ask, you got to be ready to share. And so that's what we want to give you. So my prayer during this series is that, man, you will gain a deeper understanding of the gospel, of what the gospel means for you, and how you're supposed to take it to others, that it would strengthen your walk, that it would strengthen your relationship with God, that it would create a passion and an urgency within you to share the good news with others. And then also, that through this series, that it would affirm that every Jesus follower's call, every single one of us, every Christian, our purpose is to go with the gospel and to go and make disciples. In order to that, and this is something that I'm praying for, so that we can begin to start to see a reversal of those statistics that is now at 20%, we can take it back up to 40, 50, and 60%. That's what I want to do. So we're doing this gospel series, and it's so-called because it's simple, it's easy. We're going to equip you, and each letter of the word gospel is a word that outlines God's plan of salvation. You guys can go ahead and put that next slide up. So here's what we got. We got gospel, and we have all the letters up there, and so the first one is God. That's what we're talking about today, and that as we outline this, this is what we want to give you so you can easily remember these things. God created us, first and foremost, to be with him. Number two is that our sin, the O is our sin separates us from God. The third thing is that the sins that we commit, they cannot be removed or taken care of by good deeds. No amount of good deeds is ever going to remove our sin. Four, paying the price, Jesus, he died and rose again. And he did that for everyone who trusts in him alone and has eternal life, and that we will be given life with Jesus, and it starts now and it lasts forever. So the simple thing is this: God, our sins, paying everyone life. And that is the gospel. It's God, it's our sins, and then it's Jesus paying everyone life. And that's what we're going to outline each week of this series. I'm going to go through each letter. Today we're talking about G, and then we're going to go through all of them so that I can help you gain a better understanding, so that we can simplify this, so that we can equip you to go and share the gospel. Along with this tool of the gospel, we want to give you a few other tools. The first one is this wristband. I've been wearing this, I think, now for 3 weeks. I've had a handful of people ask if they could have one, and I've said no to them, gladly. I was like, no, you can't have one yet. Okay, you got to wait, but you can look and want it, ha, ha, ha. You know, creating that anticipation. So anyway, this bracelet, they're available today for everyone to grab on the way out. That's my infomercial voice. Okay, it just says gospel on it, and, you know, it's for you as a reminder to share, but it's also, you know, people see it. People recognize it. I had a couple people ask me if it was some kind of thing that goes along with friends because it has the dots and the colors. I'm like, no, it's not about friends, but let me tell you about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's a good little segue from friends to Jesus because Jesus is a friend of mine. Anyway, some people, there's a video. If you want to go and search, there's a video. It's a song. This is not a part of my, it's called Jesus is a Friend of Mine. It's this old school song. Go listen to it. It's fantastic. And if you really want to get into it, at my last church, we did a rendition of this and we actually sang it. And so it was great. And so you can see your pastor being stupid. Okay. Anyway, got way off track. We have these bracelets for you. And they say gospel, and they can be used as a tool to help remind you to share the gospel, or as someone recognizes it, you can, you know, you're given an opportunity. So we have that. This book, it's the Life in Six Words book. This is where all of this comes from. Lifeinsixwords.com has this book. Is amazing. You might not be able to see it where you're at, but it's just got some really cool illustrations in here, and it walks through the gospel in a really, really cool way and helps, you know, people understand. So this is something I would encourage you to take one of these, read through this for yourself, and it'll help, you know, deepen your understanding. And then take the one that you have and then go give it to somebody. And say, hey, I want you to have this. I want you to read this and answer any questions that they may have about it. So grab one of these. That's the second resource. The third resource is there's an app You know, everything's online. There's an app for everything. And so they actually have a Life in Six Words app. Go ahead and go to the next one. And so you'll just go and search in the App Store and search for Life in Six Words or L-I-6-W. And the app will pop up. You can download it. And what this does is it kind of helps you, again, giving you the tools, equipping you to share the gospel in six words. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go in there and you're going to choose six words that describe you. And so, like, you know, you like having fun, and you're about God, and you're about family, you're about adventure, you're about purpose. And so as you create these six words, you get to create this story about what this means, and you'll take your six words, and you'll share who you are and what God is doing in your life with somebody. Again, it's your testimony. And then once you're done sharing, you ask the person you're talking to, what do you think your six words? And you can even pull the app out and be like, from this list, what would your six words be? And why do you think they would be this? And you get to learn about their story. And so you start creating this conversation. And then at the very end, well, you say, well, let me tell you about God in six words. And it segues you into sharing the gospel with them. And you talk about God, our sins. You can go to the next one. And it lays it all out for you. It gives it. It has scripture that goes along with it. And then at the end of it, it lays it all out for them. And then it says, hey, if you want to have, you know, take a moment right now to pray the prayer of salvation and, you know, profess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, let's do that. And it's a really, really easy way to utilize this thing and share the gospel with people. And the last and final thing is really more of equipping for us is we want to go through a Bible plan together as a church. If you have the Bible app on your phone, they have Bible plans. There's a Life in Six Words Bible plan. And I wanted to go through this. It's a 40-day plan. And again, it outlines everything we're talking about so that you can have a full understanding of the gospel for yourself so that you can go and share it with others. For the Bible plan, if you're wanting to be a part of that, you can take out a next step card and write L-I-6-W or Life in Six Words. You can also write that on your prayer or praise card, and we'll get you invited to that. Anyway, those are some of the tools and resources that we want to give you. This is what we're going to be doing, equipping you to share the gospel. Now, a lot of this stuff, as we go through these weeks, is going to be coming from Romans. Romans is a powerful book. It really, really, I mean, in a complicated way, in some places, shares the gospel, but it also is so simple. It lays it all out there. How many of you who grew up in church, been in church long enough, know the Romans Road, or have heard Romans Road before? All right, cool. A few more than early service. We had about six people. What about the salvation bracelets? Anyone remember those things, little leather bracelets, and they had the beaded? Let me see that. There they are. And kind of the same thing as what we're talking about here, but each one would go through, like, you know, God and sin and life and all that stuff. A lot of what we're talking about here, and all of it kind of goes back to Romans. And you can have the plan of salvation just in a few verses from Romans. And you get to Romans 3:10, and it talks about how no one is righteous. None of us are righteous. And that's the first thing we need to know. Like, we need to say, you know what, I am not righteous, I'm not worthy. And the next thing is that, you know, in Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and all of us fall short of the glory of God. But in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. However, the gift of God is eternal life. Where does that gift come from? Well, in Romans 5:8 says Jesus, he died for us. He paid the penalty for sin so that we could have life. And then in Romans 10:9-10, it says, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart and you will be saved. And so all in right there in Romans, that's the Romans Road, really condensed version of it. That's the plan of salvation that we're given. And man, many people, just from show of hands in here, last service it was even less, like, haven't been taught even the simple Romans Road that helps walk people through the plan of salvation. And so we want to come against that. And in Romans 1, 15 through 16, it says this, and this is Paul talking. He says, I'm eager to preach the good news. Now, the good news equals the gospel, and I'll unpack that in just a minute. I'm eager to preach the good news to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's God's power of salvation for everyone who believes. So we should be a people who are eager to spread the good news. Now, I love words, and I love looking into words and meanings of words, and I was really curious about this word gospel and where it came from, and it's an old English word that comes from Godspell. Go ahead and put the next slide up for me. So I was just thinking through this. I'm like, okay, so we have, you know, God, which is good, and then we have spell, which is news. And I got to thinking, man, if we don't have God, it's not good news, it's just news, right? And we want to preach the good news. Another thing I was thinking about with the word gospel, if you remove that word go, there's nothing you can do. And so we know that in Matthew 28:19, what are we called to do? We're called to go. And who are we called to go with? We're called to go with God, and we're called to go and share the good news. So it's not good news without God, and it's not heard news if you and I aren't actually going to share it. And just it's an important thing that we remember that we're called to go and share the good news about God. So let's start there. The G in gospel is God. Now the Bible is a big book, right? And you can start reading it and go into the Old Testament and you'd be like, what am I reading? What is going on? You get into Numbers and you're like, why, God, do I have to read Numbers, right? But what you need to know about the Bible, while it is immense and there are so many great good stories in there and some confusing things culturally that we don't understand, the Bible is simply the story, God's story of hope, of redemption, of salvation, and relationship with us. That's it. From beginning to end, it's a story of redemption for you and I, and we're going to break it down into these six words, and we're going to start with God. I want to read just a quick snippet from this book. They're going to put an image up on the screen so you can follow along. I just took a screenshot of it. And so this is where it starts. God, the first of our six words, because God's at the center of everything. And get this. This is amazing. God not only initiated creation, he initiated a relationship with us as well. God created us to be with him. The immense, all-powerful God of the universe is also personal and relational. And he formed us as humans as the one thing in creation that was made in with his imagery. He designed us uniquely in his image with an inner soul built for an infinite, intimate relationship with him. God created us to be with him. And that's the first thing that we need to know, is that we were created to be a relationship with him. I want to give you three foundational gospel truths about God. At the beginning of all of this, this is what you need to know before you start to share any of this. You got to know these truths about God. Number one is this, that you and I were created in his image. We are created in the image of God. This comes from Genesis 1:26. And it says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness. So we're made in the image of God, in his likeness. Have you ever really sat and pondered the magnitude of what it means to be made in God's image? What it means to be made in God's goodness, in his greatness, in his wisdom, in his strength, in his beauty, in his creativity. Have you ever really thought about what that means? You are like him. And what a powerful statement that is, that you and I are made in his image. And if you've never really pondered that or thought about that, let that take root and let that sink in your heart and mind. And here's the reality. No matter your upbringing, no matter your circumstances, no matter the hardships, no matter what you're currently going through, you are made in God's image. Now, what we do know, we go through the gospel story, is that sin comes in, right? And we get into Genesis 3, and sin comes in, and it kind of creates these cracks in that image, and it breaks that image up, and maybe it shatters that image a little bit. But at the end of the day, sin can never change the fact that you are made in God's image. It can never change that you were created like him. Now, I want to do something to help illustrate this, and I hope you guys will play along. Does anyone be willing to give me, if they have in their possession, a $100 bill? Anybody have one? I promise I'll give it back. If you have it, bring it up. If you have a $100 bill, first person. Anybody? Okay, we got one right here. Thank you, Kim, very much. I was just kidding about giving it back. Okay. Okay, so here's what we've got. Genuine, real. I don't think she has a printing machine to make fake dollar bills. So we have a $100 bill. The value of this $100 bill was at $100 the moment it was printed, and it's going to stay at $100, okay? Now, what happens if I crumple it up? Sorry, Kim. How much is it worth? Still worth $100. Well, it's a little crumpled up. Okay, let's throw it on the ground. Oh, I got to jump down now. But I stepped on it, as I did. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to slam it. I'm going to kicked it a little bit. What's this worth? You sure? I stomped on it. I threw it around. I kicked it. I'm going to call it a bad name. You aren't fun. Okay, I didn't want to say anything too bad. it's still $100, right? And so here's the truth. At the end of the day, you know, this world and the enemy, he tries to tear us down. He tries to break us down. Tries to tell us we're not worth anything, tries to tell us what our value is, but at the end of the day, we are created the image of God, and nothing can take that value from us. Nothing. And so I want you to know that, and I want you to understand that you were created in his image, and though this world and sin may try to taint that or distort that, you will always have the same value as what you were created in God. Do you understand? All right, Kim, you want this back? All right, sweet. It's still worth $100. Buy me lunch later, okay? Here we go. I uncrumpled it for you. It looks better now. It has character. So you're made in his image. And you know, as long as you continue to believe that, no matter what happens, continue to believe that. Continue to combat temptation and sin in your life. Continue to strive daily to be like him. Then nothing can change the fact that you were made in his image. Believe this, that man, when you came into a relationship with him, when you received his spirit, you became an heir, a son or daughter of the king, and not even sin or death can change that. And do you want to know why that is? Because Jesus is victorious over both those things. And because Jesus is victorious over both sin and death, so are you. And that's what reconciles us back to him. You were created in the image of God, and I think someone here today needs to be reminded of that. Reminded of the fact that you have value, you have worth. And we're going to talk about that too, getting into the next one. Then the second thing is this, is that God created you for purpose. Now there's a unique purpose, and then there's a kind of a collective purpose, but we were created for a purpose. In Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And so Adam is there. He's been given this job. He's been given this purpose. Hey, take care of this world. And so Adam's doing that thing. And then as he's doing that thing, he gets a little lonely. And God says, it's not good for man to be alone. And he creates woman. And the woman says, hey, I need you to come alongside this man and be his helper and be there with him to support him and strengthen him. And so Adam has a purpose of taking care of the world. And Eve has a purpose of taking care of Adam. Now, let me just be really clear. This is a unique purpose for Adam and for Eve, and that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be yours as well. And I think so many people get caught up in roles and in the man's role and the woman's role, but at the same time, like, yes, we're going to do this, but just know that all of us are made in his image, both man and women made in his image, and each of us is created with a unique purpose. Who you are, when you are, and where you are. The fact that you are here in this world right now, when you were born, the thing, all of it was for his purpose. And it means that you have purpose, that you have worth, that you have value, that you have meaning because you're created in his image. Now, we know that sin comes along and tries to taint that and distort that and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, whatever sin distorts, Jesus restores. And we hold on to that. We hold on to who Jesus is and what he did for us. And so while we each have a unique purpose, we're created in his image. At the same time, in our new life in Christ, we also have a shared purpose of sharing the gospel. Because as you receive the hope and as you receive redemption and as you are able to enter into relationship with God, you're going to want to be able to share that so others can have the same hope that you have found. And I want to just, before I move on to the third and final thing, is say this, nothing and no one in this world can determine your value, your worth, or your purpose. That is by God and God alone. You understand? Here's the most important thing. You ready? You, specifically, you are worth dying for. Think about that. God sent his one and only son to die for you, to take your place. And so that means that you have value, you have worth, you have meaning, you were created in his image. And he did all of that because he wants to be in relationship with you. And that's the third and final point of today, is that God created us for relationship. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, at the time of the evening breeze. And so what we know is that God walked with them. God walked among them. God walked through the things that they were going through. This is right as they, you know, entered into sin and temptation, but God walked with them through that as well. God is a God who wants to walk side by side with us in everyday life. He is a God who wants to be in relationship with us. And so here's the deal. The gospel story, Genesis to Revelation, is about restoring our relationship with God through Jesus. That is the most simple sentence I could give you of the gospel. The gospel story is about restoring our relationship with God through Jesus, and that's it. The relationship with God is through Jesus and Jesus alone, and everything that he's done, everything that he is doing, is all in an effort to restore relationship back with him. So the first and most important truth we all need to know about the gospel is God. Who he is, that he created us, that he loved us, and that, man, ultimately, he wants a relationship with us. So those are the three things. He created us in his image. He created us with a unique gift for his glory. And he desires us to be in relationship with him. I think it's really, really important that we know that. And not just know it, because you can know it, but actually believe it. So you got to know it, you got to believe it, you got to live it before actually going to share it. So maybe ask yourself, do I believe that about myself? Do I believe that I'm created in his image? Do I believe that I'm created for a purpose? Do I believe that the God of the cosmos wants an intimate, personal relationship with me? You're worth it, every single one of you. Psalm 103 says, know and fully recognize with gratitude the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of our pasture. Your understanding of who God is so vital, so important to sharing the gospel. Because without God, it's just news. We want to make sure that we go out there and we share the good news. I'm asking that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to do a few things here. Kind of a prayer time of commitment. But where I want to start is this. If you're here today, and this is really the first time that you've had the gospel presented to you, hearing about God creating you in his image and creating you for a purpose and creating you for a relationship, hearing the fact that, man, Jesus took your place. He paid the penalty for sin and rose again. If this is your first time hearing the gospel presented, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to it. And I've gone through it. It's understanding, you know, before you make a commitment, it's understanding that God created us to be with him, that our sins separate us from him, that no amount of good deeds can remove our sins, and that Jesus, he died and rose again to pay for our sins so that everyone who believes in him could have everlasting life. If you're here today and you would say, I want to make that commitment. I believe God is who he says he is. I believe what the word says about him, that he wants a relationship with me, and it only happens through Jesus, what he did on the cross, and that he rose again. Right now, I want to confess that I am a sinner. But I know that Jesus paid the price for my sins and he rose again. In Romans, it says, man, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart who he is, what he's done, that he loves you, you will be saved. And take a moment right now to do that, to enter into the greatest relationship you could ever have, a relationship with your creator, your sustainer, and most importantly, your friend. Now, for those of you who have done this, and even if you just did this, here's what I want to do. A couple prayers of commitment. The first one is that you would commit, make a prayer today to commit, to continue, to come and to learn and to use the things that we're teaching and equipping you with and taking them out. Now, be the next commitment that not only would you come and learn, but that you would actually go and share things that we're equipping with, things that we're giving you, that you would take them beyond these four walls and share the gospel. Share your story. Share what Jesus did for you. Lastly, I would pray right now, if he hasn't already, that the Spirit would put someone specific on your heart and in your mind that needs to hear the gospel. And that as he puts that person there, that person would stay there, and that it would be something that you think about day and night until they come into and enter into a relationship with God. And I pray that as opportunities present themselves, whether with that person or with other people, that you would recognize them and that you would give them priority in your life to share the gospel with them. Lastly, I just pray for boldness. I pray for courage. I pray for confidence. I pray that even if you don't feel like you have it all or are fully equipped, that you would begin to rely on the Spirit within you to speak through you, to help others hear, believe, and respond to the gospel, to the good news that through Jesus Christ, God redeemed us, saved us, and reconciled us back to him. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your good news. Thank you for your son. Thank you for loving us and creating us in your image. It's quite a thing to behold that of all of this, you made us in your image. May we never forget our worth and our value, our purpose and our meaning in you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.